This morning, the truth source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for the day's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Comfort of God. Today's message is based on Exodus 16, 2 through 15, and Matthew 20, 1 through 16. But let us open with prayer. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So turn down your Bibles to Exodus 16, starting at verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall separate what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At the evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against him. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord. He has heard your complaints. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they came to say to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So today we are in the Israelites' journey toward the promised land. They have not gone very far when they begin to run out of the food they had brought with them. We're not actually told how long this was, but the people begin to complain that they fear dying in the wilderness, where there was absolutely no place to find food, and compare it to the fact that they had food to eat while in Egypt, even though they were slaves. And this is a reoccurring theme in the Exodus journey, where the people put their own comfort ahead of and before God, selfish for immediate desires and refusing to see the big picture. Was it truly better to be a slave before a savage taskmaster or to be free with God? And this is the very same question we face today in our society. The people act as if they did not believe that God had any concern for them. They, in their selfishness, give no credit to God. To God, who had through marvelous and miraculous acts had defeated the Egyptians, the most powerful nation in the known world at that time, had freed them from oppression and captivity, whose very presence they could see day and night in a column of smoke or fire. Now, when we view our society today, we have the same behavior of this nation. We have a society who has forgotten, failed to learn, or choose to ignore the founding of this nation by the mighty hand of God to become the best and most caring and giving nation in the history of the world. We have put God completely out of daily events, shelved him somewhere. We then complain that others must supply our needs, a government taskmaster, but foolishly ignore the task part of the vision. We seem to prefer slavery over freedom, for we have forgotten that our freedom cost, and that a true freedom, it really is. Now God has a plan and he shares it with Moses. God will supply the people with bread and meat, but will do so in a way they cannot deny that it is a gift from God. So in verse 4, the people are to gather a certain quota every day that I may test them. The way God has arranged this, the people must first gather what they work to acquire this food. God could have delivered freshly baked loaves to every dwelling place, but instead insists the people work, as we are expected to work. Second, there are rules. You must gather every day your daily bread. Not some weeks, gather only on one day and take the rest of the week off. You are to gather what you need and not be a glutton or deprive others. Finally, this is a test. The language here is just a little different. When we think of a test, it may refer to God tempting us to see if we will fail. But here it means more of to prove what one really is. Will the people obey the word of God? Not some obscure God who they can't see or experience, but one who is in the midst of their camp every day. God is not Santa Claus with a sleigh of bread, but a provincial God who desires us to have what we need, but yet demands obedience and worship. So God provides the people the meat in the evening and bread in the morning. Now the word manna, which is used to describe this gift, is actually a play on words of the people when they first see it. They said, what is it? This was something unusual, not what was expected, as are many of God's gifts to us today. This is not actual bread in tiny loaves, but small seed-like particles that likely could be ground into flour and baked into bread. And even with the miracle of manna, the people still had to produce their own bread from the fullness of God. How often do we not notice the gifts of God just lying about us, that we ignore or fail to recognize for what they are? Has God stopped providing for his people just because they are no longer in the wilderness? Or are we today just in a different wilderness? Do we attempt to gather in these gifts for our use? Or do we in our abundance kick them aside because they don't appear to us to be useful or better than what we already have? By not paying attention to what God has given to each of us, are we living in sin and disobedience every bit as much as the people in the wilderness of sin? So turning now to Matthew 20, in the first 16 verses, Jesus is speaking here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out again about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace. And he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. And then at about the sixth and ninth hour he did likewise. Then at about the 11th hour he went out and found others still standing idle. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said, "Go into the vineyard. Whatever is right you will receive." So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers, give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed they would receive more. But they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they were saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But the landowner answered them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours, go your way. If I wish to give this last man the same as you, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your evil eye because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now this is one of the teachings of Jesus to his disciples. And then Jesus tells them of the rewards they will receive in heaven. But he shakes it up a little with, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This very simple phrase is almost foreign to the way we usually think. How many of us, if we finish first in a race, would gladly accept a third place trophy? We all know what it feels like to work hard for a promotion, but then learn it has been given to a person of lesser abilities. And to help explain this, Jesus tells a parable, one of his better ones, but for many, very difficult to grasp. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." This ties it back to what Jesus had just told the disciples as to their desire to receive reward for their efforts. The events of this parable are actually realistic to that time. Many of the people did not have a full-time job. They gathered at the town square to see if anyone needed laborers. Those chosen would do whatever job the master would offer at whatever pay was offered. There were no unions back then. We call those today day laborers. Now in this example, it's harvest time for grapes, and grapes had a very narrow window for harvest, so they must be picked at just the right time and very quickly. We are not given numbers as to how many were hired, but we are told that there was a negotiation on the wage. A denarius was a usual wage for that time, and it was not a lot. If you had a small family, you could provide for them for just one day. Anytime you missed work, the family did without, often went hungry, a very real and hard fact. A couple hours later, the landowner goes back to the square and finds more men available. So why did he go back? Maybe the work wasn't progressing as quickly as he needed. And we don't know why, but he did. There are men available, so they are hard. But notice this time and through the rest of the parable, there is no negotiation, just the opportunity to work. The lander goes back in another 3 hours, and then 3 more hours, and then another, until very late in the day. The last bunch only worked 1 hour. Now, we are not told why there were men still standing through this parable. The very fact that they would go to the square that late indicates their desperation for work. These were not men looking for a handout or welfare, but men who wanted to work. This is also a good lesson on making wrong judgments on people because of the circumstances and our understanding of their circumstance. So the workday is finished, the laborers are paid their wages. And again, remember, the money was needed every day. There was no end of the week pay schedule. The landowner gave the order to bring the laborers to come and receive their wages, but in the reverse order of whom they were hired. The last first, the ones who worked the least time, they received a denarius, a very generous wage considering the time worked. The men are paid until they come to those who were hired first and had worked the longest. These men also received a denarius in complete agreement with what they had negotiated, but they still complained against the landowner. And you got to see their point. They had worked longer, possibly even harder. They felt they deserved more. But not all of life is fair. If they had not seen that the latecomers had received, they would have been satisfied. Sometimes too much information is not an advantage. The landowner responds, but he answered and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree? So take what is yours and go your way." Those who were hired first received exactly what they deserved, as this is what they had agreed to. That they felt entitled to get more is based on no legality, except they had feelings they should get more. This can be considered evil for their selfishness, but they have families to feed, but so did the others. And the landowner clearly states, "I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to give what my own things?" The landowner had shown compassion for the latecomers. It was his decision to be generous. Again, notice that nowhere is the word fair used. Fair is a word we often misuse to seek our own benefit. We here see the biggest separation of a biblical worldview and a statist worldview in that the landowner sees it as his right to decide what he can do with what is his. Modern secular thought is that it is the state that gets to decide what you can do with what is yours. If you have much, the state takes it and redistributes it to the select ones the state deems needy. God tells us to use what we have in a loving and compassionate way where possible, but to be guided by our hearts and not the IRS. And again, in this case, the landowner is God. And here Jesus is telling us of the pure grace that is of God. With grace, you can do nothing to earn such a gift. It is bestowed by God as God wishes, and not in a way we deem fair. Those who love God, such grace is always generous. But we need to get back to the purpose of Jesus telling this parable. This was a warning to the disciples and to the nation of Israel. And we can see it as a warning to us as well. They and we are not to put our own interests ahead of the sovereign will of God. We are to be the servants or laborers of God, not make demands on God, but to listen and obey. We can never claim some special honor or place. The laborers that negotiated the contract can be seen as the nation of Israel. They had agreement with God and openly declared they were His. Those who came late were the Gentiles who would become equal in the church even though they did not have the same history and relationship. It is through our faith and belief that we are accepted equally before God. And this parable shows three distinct natures of God: His compassion, His generosity, and His grace. For even those who came late and worked only 1 hour receives equally from God. What is hard for us to separate is that it was not for the work that those were paid, but for their heart and desire. They wanted a chance to work, to support their families, to do the right thing. That they were received late doesn't matter. What God gave those was not wages or what they had earned. It was a gift. So the last will be first and the first last. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who shall be first? Do we decide this or does God? The person who seeks only the reward from God has put self above service to others. The one who labors quietly, steadily, and out of sight will find a reward that they never sought. This parable shows us the comfort of God, knowing what it is in our hearts and offering His grace, regardless of how we will be measured by the world. TV and movie stars, sports figures, even those in politics are all about me. Look at me, see me, hear me, donate to me, spend your money on products that I endorse. These all mean nothing to a caring God, knowing that the most of us do not have any such opportunity, but in fact, the opposite. We live lives of quiet, away from notoriety. But if those lives are true to the desires of God, we will find a salvation worth far more than an earthly mansion. We will find the comfort of God's grace and love for eternity. So in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So let us close with our benediction. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to the one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Go out into the world in peace, knowing that the grace and love of God to share this with the world. In the name of God the Father and Jesus Christ our risen Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we will pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I invite Savior. king above, and I'm filled with his goodness, and I'm lost in his love. For this is my story, this is my
story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.